Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Rules by Anna B. Doe, narrated by C.J. Bloom and Teddy Hamilton. We are made of all those who have built and broken us. Atticus Poetry, Love Her Wild. Prologue. Brooke. Looking through the window at the scenery passing by, I feel the familiar sting in my eyes. Hot, broken tears fill my lids, but I don't let them slide. Tilting my head back, I blink furiously a few times, determined to keep them at bay. I haven't cried in years, not one single tear, even when I was at my lowest. I could hold it back. Keeping my emotions in check has become like turning off the light. One flick of a switch, that's all it took for me to shut down my feelings and shove them away. Until now. Swallowing the lump in my throat, I close my eyes tight. Why won't they stop? I need them to stop. I sniffle as one lone tear slides down my cheek. Angry, I brush it away, but it's no use. The rest soon follow. Pulling my legs up on the seat, I hug them to my chest. I lean my chin on my knees and finally give in. I'm tired, so tired of always fighting against invisible demons, against myself. Tired of always having to be the strong one. I am not that strong. The strong I show to the world is just an illusion, bravado. It's a mask I wear to guard myself against the people around me. I can't do it anymore. It's too much. Some things remain the same, no matter where you come from, like the fact that every story has two sides, and the only one that matters is the one written by victors. Towns are just like stories, divided in half, and there is only one half that matters, and that half is not mine. I guess you can already imagine what side I belong to. I'm the girl from the wrong side of the tracks. I'm the good-for-nothing girl. White trash. I'm all that and more. From an early age, life taught me how to roll with the punches, how to survive on my own. Because when you come from where I come from, that's the only thing you can do. Survive. And I've gotten good at that. After a while, that is. Because in the beginning I tried, hoped, really, to believe life's fair. It's not. That you could rise above it, you can't. That people are good, and those who are closest to you will love you and protect you above all else. They won't. That fairy tales do exist, and everybody will eventually get there happily ever after. We won't. Life's a cheating son of a bitch, and hope is just an illusion. And sooner or later, the reality will catch up to you and show you just how ugly it really is. Some people keep holding on to hope that fairy tales are real. Not me. Not anymore. For as long as I can remember, my life was a fucking nightmare. I tried to resist it. I tried to rise above it, but it beat me to the ground, over and over again, robbing me of everything I held dear, everything that mattered. And I wasn't naive enough to believe there was actually a way out. So when my life fell to pieces, I did the only thing I knew how to protect myself. I built the walls, pushing everybody out. A Leaving Grayford sign passes by, and I watch it blend into the background, another sob ripping out of my lungs. I created the rules, three golden rules to keep me alive. Three golden rules to survive. And then I broke them all, and now I'm paying the price. Chapter 1. Brooke. October 31st. Well, that was interesting. I lean against the wall next to Jeanette, standing stoically in her Wonder Woman costume with a water bottle in her hand. Amelia tried to call her to join us on the dance floor on various occasions, but Jeanette was no fun. I thought you'd rip him a new one for sure, she says, not even looking at me, her tone almost as cheery as a heart without a beat. What would be the point? I wave my hand, taking the last sip of my pinktail. Derek was adamant to make things right, and no matter how much Leah repeats she hates him, we all know she's lying. She's hurt, and the last thing I want to see is her suffering more than she already is. Besides, we all know nothing happened. A few weeks ago, Leah found her forever crush, turned best friend of her bully, turned, in the last few months, somewhat of a boyfriend, standing basically naked on his front porch kissing another chick. Hurt beyond belief, she ran away, not giving him a chance to explain. Should she have? I'm not the best person to answer that question when it comes to forgiving and forgetting, but what I do know is that Derek is trying. Has been trying since she ran away and closed herself off from everybody. Do you think she'll forgive him? I look at the two of them standing chest to chest on the dance floor. The sparks are flying between them as they push and pull, their lips moving rapidly. I think she's ready to listen, I say with a shrug. Yes, Amelia is my best friend, but even I don't know what's hiding in that thick head of hers. She's one of those rare people who's genuinely good. A caring friend, with an innocent, pure soul, understanding and forgiving. But she was hurt badly by what happened. I just hope that once she makes her decision, she sticks to it. My eyes snap to Jeanette's face, a deep frown between her brows as she looks over my shoulder. I don't want to see anybody else get hurt. Even though I know I shouldn't, I can't help myself. Tilting my head to the side, I glance over my shoulder, my gaze landing on him. Maximilian Sanders, poor little rich boy, hotshot hockey player, quasi-bad boy, and Jeanette's twin brother. My stomach rolls uncomfortably, making me realize that I drank much more than I'm used to drinking, which is part of the reason why I'm here chatting about random stuff with Jeanette instead of ditching the party or hiding in some dark corner. Liar. That's the story I'm rolling with anyway. He's standing in the shadows, his back pressed against the wall, eyes glued to the couple swaying on the dance floor. Even with the distance between us and the dim lights, I notice his hand clenched tightly around the beer bottle he's holding. Always trying to be the good guy. The hero. I want to barf at the irony. The guy's a poser if I've ever seen one. He's full of contradictions. The way he looks and the way he acts are so different. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around him. It's hard to figure him out, to understand him. From the moment my eyes landed on him, I couldn't stand him. That's not saying much, though, since I can't stand a lot of people. I'm simply not a people person. I like my solitude and silence. I'm a quiet observer, always looking, standing on the sidelines, but never actually participating. And something about him doesn't sit well with me. Dressing in all black with his leather jacket, biker boots, and black Ducati, you'd think he's some kind of rebel, a bad boy. But as soon as he opens his mouth, contradictions come out, and what he did tonight just proves that. Maximilian Sanders is just like Leah. A good guy, a good friend who puts other people first without thinking about himself. Or just plain stupid, because what he did tonight can't be described otherwise. You might think I'm harsh, but I'm only realistic. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is that good, that selfless, including Max. His jaw clenches. The hand wrapped around the neck of the bottle tightens so hard, his knuckles turn white as he brings it to his lips and takes a long pull. I watch his throat work as he swallows, my mouth going dry as one drop falls on the corner of his lips and starts sliding down, only to be caught by the swift swipe of his tongue. Forcing my gaze away from him, I turn and look at what he's watching. Leah and Derek, kissing in the middle of the dance floor, like their lives depend on it. Something ugly wraps around my insides, leaving a bitter taste in my mouth. I lift the cup to my lips, but there is nothing that could wash away the sourness. I'm going to get a refill, I say over my shoulder. Only, Jeanette's not there. She's already walking toward her brother.
Max, You like her?
My twin's intent gaze drills into me. Even if we didn't have this stupid twin connection, or whatever you want to call it, she's so annoying, it's difficult to ignore her. I do. My eyes don't leave the makeshift dance floor in the middle of the room. Although they should, because looking at her in his arms is a special kind of torture I like to put myself through, if for no other reason than to remind myself that she belongs to him now. She has always belonged to him. But not the way you think.
Right.
She huffs, which is a clear enough giveaway that she doesn't believe me. And she shouldn't, because I'm full of crap. I shrug, not saying anything. I don't really care what she thinks she knows, what anyone thinks they know. The only thing that matters to me is that she's happy, even if it's with a guy who's not me. Taking a long pull from the beer bottle, I let the buzz spread through my body. Thank God Jeanette volunteered to be our DD for the night, because I don't know if I'd be able to survive it alcohol-free. After all, it's not every day a guy helps another dude win the girl he likes. The first time I met Amelia Campbell, it was like I'd met an angel. There was something around her. I don't know, really, but all I could see was light, perfection, and innocence. She was everything good and pure in this world put into one person, and I wanted a part of that for myself. I wanted to touch her, be close to her, protect her. At first, it was innocent, but the more I got to know her, the more I liked her. And no matter how many times I told myself to forget about her and put distance between us before somebody, mainly me, gets hurt, I just couldn't do it. And when Derek messed up, for a split second, I entertained the idea of stepping in. But in the end, I couldn't. Not because I didn't like her, but because I knew no matter how much she likes me, Amelia still loves Derek. Even when he's acting like a jerk. Even when he messed up. Hell, even these past 10 years when he let his friend bully her, she still loves him. So no matter how much it made my insides revolt, I did what was right for Amelia. Even if it meant helping Derek form a plan to tell her the truth of what really happened and get his girl back. His girl, not yours. His. Maybe if I repeat those words enough, my mind will catch up. The flash of ginger catches my attention, just in time to see Leah and Derek leave the room. The beer I just swallowed tastes funny in my throat, and I can feel my chest squeeze painfully. Max! Jeanette reaches to touch me, but I pull away. Throwing my head back, I force down what's left of the beer. Think whatever you want. I'm going to find something to drink. And that's exactly what I do. I push all thoughts of Amelia and Derek out of my head and concentrate on the party. I join the guys on the team and we shoot the shit, talking hockey and girls while playing beer pong. I'm not even sure how much time passes or how many beers I've had, but the world is spinning and I'm sure I'm seeing double, but I'm having fun, and that uneasy feeling that was haunting me before is gone. There's no tightness in my chest, nothing's impeding me from breathing, no dark thoughts going through my mind. Guys laugh when another ball goes into my cup. Tossing the cup back, I feel some of the beer slip down my chin. I down the cup and put it back on the table, wiping my chin with the back of my hand. Somehow, in the process, I lose my balance, and I would have fallen on my ass if it weren't for one of my teammates standing behind me.
You should slow down, Sanders.
I shake my head stubbornly. Nah, I'm good, man. I just need to take a leak. I wave him off when he offers to help me and stumble out of the room. The hallway is quieter, and the sudden change in light blacks my vision. Gripping the wall to regain my balance, I close my eyes until the black spots are gone before I continue walking. The downstairs bathroom is always full, so I stumble up the stairs where I know Drew doesn't allow people to wander. It feels like forever before I reach the top. I open every door I pass until I find the bathroom. I take a piss, and as I'm washing my hands, I look at my reflection in the mirror. There are two of me, and my drunk self finds it funny because I start chuckling, the almost frantic sound echoing against the tiles. Although it's Halloween, I opted for a wolf's hoodie and dark jeans. It's not like helping Derek with his plan left me with time for costume shopping. My dark hair is disheveled, light stubble covering my jaw. My pupils are dilated, eyes glassy with darkish circles underneath them. Basically, I'm a mess. Splashing some water over my face, I hope it helps me with sobering up. I'm not the one driving, but I know Jeanette will rip me a new one if she sees me like this. As presentable as possible at the moment, I walk out, only to crash into a body outside the bathroom. The person, much smaller than me, stumbles from the impact. I try to save her from falling, but as we established earlier, my reflexes are shit when I'm drunk, so we both end up falling to the floor in a mess of limbs. Oof! I'm so sorry. I try to lean on my forearm, but at the same time, she attempts to put her hand down so she can push up. Our limbs lock together, making me lose my balance and fall forward. I catch a flash of blonde hair with blue and pink tips. Heavy, slightly smudged makeup on her face. Her eyes grow wide as I crash into her. I try to prevent the impact, but it's no use. My body falls on her, much smaller and softer, kicking the air out of her lungs. Her lips part just as mine land on hers. A brush. Barely a touch. That's all it is. Barely a touch. Yet, I can't help but feel how soft her lips are. It's been long. So long since I kissed a girl. So long I forgot how good it felt. Running my hands over their soft curves, feeling the silkiness of their skin underneath my rough palms. Kissing those velvet lips as sexy, feminine perfume surrounds me. The image of Leah enters my brain. Is she kissing Derek right now? But as soon as the question forms, I push it back. It's so fucked up. Thinking about one girl while having another one in my arms. Wrong on so many levels. Inexcusable. Especially since the girl I'm thinking about isn't somebody I can have. Isn't somebody I can even think of having, because she was never mine to begin with. Irritated and angry at myself, I swipe my lips over hers. A punishment and a distraction. Tentative. Questioning. Those big eyes, somehow familiar, grow even wider. But I can feel her lips tremble underneath mine, and then they return my kiss. Slowly, so freaking slowly, she brushes her mouth against mine, and it feels like heaven. I groan loudly, the gentle movement the only invitation I need. My tongue slides through her parted lips, meeting hers and stealing a soft moan from somewhere deep in her throat as velvet meets velvet. I disentangle my hands from hers furiously, cupping her cheeks, my eyelids fall shut. I angle her head so that my tongue can slip deeper into her mouth. There is no finesse to my touch, just pure fucking need. Her hands grip my hips, pulling me down as she arches up, body meeting body. My dick reacts to the touch, growing harder in my jeans. With every thrust of my tongue in her mouth, she arches into my touch, our lower halves grinding together as denim rubs against denim. The kiss breaks as her head falls back, her tits brushing against my chest with a sharp intake of breath. Not discouraged in the slightest, I let my mouth trail her jaw and down her neck, licking and nibbling her soft flesh. Honey and wildflowers overwhelm my senses as I brush my nose down the column of her neck. Her hands run up my back, feeling my muscles tense underneath her fingers, over my shoulders and neck until they tangle in my hair, pulling me back for another wild kiss. Tongues mashing together, teeth grazing, mouths devouring, wild, free, all-consuming. Her kiss sets me free and grounds me at the same time. My penance and salvation, all wrapped into one tiny girl I'm not even sure I know. Her nails scratch my skin, making me hiss as my groin meets hers. Yes, just like I run my hands down her sides, feeling the soft curves. Gripping the round globes of her ass, I grind our hips together, feeling her hotness even through the layers separating us. More. Our movements are frantic as we try to feel more of each other. One of my hands slips underneath her shirt, trailing her soft stomach, brushing the underside of her boob, feeling its weight in my palm before I give it a firm squeeze. She mumbles something incomprehensible, her hand scratching down my back, and it takes everything in me not to rip our clothes off and get lost in her tight little body. Gosh, Leah, you're driving me crazy. My hips continue grinding against hers, hand unclasping her bra so I can slip my fingers beneath the material and grip at her soft flesh without any barriers. My fingers pinch her nipple, the bud reacting to my touch instantly. And then her hands push against my chest. What the? I stumble backward, falling on my ass as she quickly wobbles back to her feet. It takes me a moment to lift my head because my mind is spinning. Maybe it's the alcohol still running through my veins, or maybe it's because those fervent kisses deprived me of oxygen for too long. My eyes narrow as I try to see clearly. The blonde wig is crooked, her red lipstick smeared around her mouth from our kisses, her mouth pressed in a thin line. Displeasure? Anger? Resignation? The fuck if I know. I'm not even sure what I did wrong. One moment we were grinding against one another, and the next... Fuck. The realization of what I did hits me like a train wreck. I rub my hand over my face, trying to wrap my head around how I could be so stupid to... No, just no. Suddenly, completely sober, I force myself to lift my gaze and actually look at her. Look at her face. Eyes that looked somewhat familiar only moments ago. A pair of deep-set, field-green emeralds are like a punch to my gut, making me double over. Brooke, I stutter, looking at her, completely stupefied. What the hell have I done? Her whole body is tense, face hard as she looks down at me. Moments ago, she was melting in my arms, and now I can see walls closing around her. This... She wiggles her finger between the two of us, a cold, serious expression on her face. Never happened. She shakes her head from above, and then without giving me a chance to explain, not that I'd know what to say to make this even remotely right, she turns around and walks away. Another frustrated swipe over my face leaves red smudges on my fingertips. Her lipstick. My hand forms a fist, and as it falls down, I let it punch the floor, enjoying the sting that runs through my hand from the impact. Fuck. Just fuck. Chapter 2. Max. Sanders! When I hear my name called, I lift my head and meet Coach's reflection in the mirror. My office, now! Some of the guys give me wary looks before they return to their reps. Straightening from the lunge, I put down the weights in my hands and grab my towel, wiping at my sweaty face. Hockey season is in full swing now, and the coach is working us hard. Gym before classes, ice time after. Not that we mind. Everybody here knows what's at stake, and if we want to go to the playoffs and play in the Ice Globe tournament, we have to be in the best possible shape. I'm not sure what Coach wants from me. It's not like he makes a habit of asking us to stop by his office. If he does, he either needs something, or he's going to give us a piece of his mind. And since I am fairly certain I didn't mess anything up, I guess I'll find out soon enough. Exiting the gym, I walk down the hall and knock once lightly on his open door. Coach, close the door, he says curtly. Sit. He's going through some papers in front of him, barely sparing me a glance. Slightly nervous, I dry my sweaty palms against my nylon shorts before I step inside and do as he asked. Folding my tall frame into one of the two chairs across from him, I wait. It feels like forever, the silence in the room almost deafening. When he's finally done, he looks through another stack of papers and puts one in front of me before leaning back in his chair and crossing his arms over his chest. Care to explain? I swallow the lump in my throat before my eyes fall downward looking at the paper. Words are blurry, letters mixing together as always, but even I know what this is. Coach? Don't you coach me, Sanders! He roars. Coach leans forward, his eyes boring into mine. He's furious. Why is one of my starting players failing not one, not two, but three of his classes? I cringe at his words. I mean, I knew I wasn't the best student, but this... It's not even surprising he's pissed. I didn't hear an answer. It's just... I start. But really, what's there to say? I suck at studying? My brain likes to mix up words so I don't understand shit of what I read or try to? My sister's been acting weird again, so I can't really go to her for help, and she's the only one who understands how my fucked up brain works. The only one who knows how to get anything into this thick skull of mine so that I can get decent enough grades to pass. All of it's just a bunch of excuses that the coach won't buy, so I don't even try. Just what? Nothing. I shake my head. I'll do better. You better. You're excelling at math and physics, but your language and history grades are shit. I talked to your teachers. They agreed to give you a makeup test on Wednesday afternoon. If you don't pass, I'll pass, I say quickly, not even letting him finish the sentence. We both know what's at stake. Not passing isn't an option. No grades, no hockey, no championship, no playing on the next level. A vicious circle makes the bile rise in my throat. If only I could play without worrying about the grades, but life doesn't work that way. You better, he repeats and gives me another one of his stern looks. I'll talk to the guidance counselor and get you a tutor, or... That's not necessary. Sanders! He runs his hand through his graying hair. I'm fine, really. I'll ask Annette for help. It's just been a crazy few weeks and... Dark eyes stare into mine for a while until he finally gives in. I hope you know what you're doing. You and me both, coach. You and me both. Then he turns back to his papers, dismissing me. Get your ass to the library. I'll excuse you from homeroom so you can get more studying in. Yes, coach. Don't disappoint me. His gruff voice makes my whole body tense. Just what I needed. More pressure. Like my future hanging by a thread isn't enough.
Chapter 3. Brooke. This looks stunning, Brooke. The sudden comment surprises me, making me jolt in my seat. School doesn't start for another hour, so I thought I'd have some peace and quiet. I turn around, facing the older woman. Mrs. Brown, you scared me. Her lips spread in an apologetic smile, making the wrinkles around her lips and eyes more prominent. I'm so sorry, dear. I thought you heard me. I wasn't that quiet when I got here. Gazing over her shoulder, I see her handbag and a couple of plastic bags laid down on the desk. I guess I was in the zone. I shrug, turning back to the canvas I was working on. I tilt my head to the side, observing it critically. Soft steps come closer, and although I want to hide my painting so she can't see it, I surpass the urge. Mrs. Brown stops right behind me, her wrinkled hands touching my shoulders. My whole body tenses at her nearness, but I push the uncomfortable feeling away. I took this class because it seemed like an easy way to get credits, and I always like to doodle to pass the time. Contrary to my beliefs, I learned fast enough Mrs. Brown may seem like an old, fragile lady. Newsflash, she's anything but. When it comes to art, she has a no-nonsense policy. If you're here, you're here to work. And, as it turns out, I'm not half bad. I'm not trying to fool myself into believing there could be something more to my abilities. I'm not dreaming of being discovered and becoming a famous artist. This, my art and stolen hours before classes start for the day, is something that belongs only to me. And when you come from the wrong side of the tracks, things that are only yours are hard to find and even harder to keep, so you hold on to them for dear life. Mrs. Brown helped me transform those doodles into something more, something that even I can't deny looks breathtaking. Breathtaking and personal. So personal that she's the only one I let see it, and even that reluctantly. Guess you can't hide what you're working on if the person lets you use her space and materials for free. Whenever you want it, no less. She's been trying to persuade me to enter competitions, put my art out there. But my answer is always the same. Hell no. No way am I showing this to anybody else. It's personal. It's mine. Coming from the deepest, darkest part of me. A part I don't let anybody see. Vulnerable and naked, that's how I feel every time she watches one of my projects. I tried separating it, separating my art from my experience, my life. But when I paint, My brain turns off and my hand...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?